Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome to another edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. With no delay, we want to get into the message that we started on Monday's program. Here is, it's what you know and who you know.
So it's a simple question. How is it that you're doing this? It doesn't mean how can you. It means why. Watch Jesus answer. Because I saw a do in this text this week. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, then you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. I want you to notice two very amazing, to me, revelatory things that Jesus says hold people back from getting saved. In this verse, Jesus just told you the two things that keep people from getting saved. He said, if you knew the gift of God and Jesus, I wouldn't have to come to you and have a revival. You would come to me and ask, can I have some of that? Did you notice that Jesus gave us the two things the world lacks? Of all the seminars we go to on how to preach, and all the studies we do on how to win the world, and how to win our city, Jesus gave two things and said, if you'll do this, they'll ask you for Jesus. Number one, show them the gift of God. Now, what's the gift of God? We just did 20 minutes on the gift of God. What is the highest form of the gift of God? Forgiveness of sins. What is Jesus saying to this woman? If you knew what the greatest gift of the Father was to you, you would ask me for it. I wouldn't have to beg you. You would ask me. What is he saying? If you knew how forgiven that I can make you, you would ask for this water. Do you think Jesus' methods of evangelism would work today? Doesn't he know what he's talking about? What if? Let's just throw this out there as a possibility. What if the church transformed itself into a place that had two messages, just two? Now they could house it in 1,000 different titles and preach every text in the book. And I'm trying my best to do both of those things. House it in 1,000 different titles and preach every verse in the Bible. But preach two messages exclusively. Forgiveness of sins and revealing the man, Christ Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus says? If you just knew the gift and you knew the giver, you'd ask for it. We wouldn't have to beg you to get saved. You'd ask for it because the gift is so great and the giver is even better. What if we let the world know that their sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ and let us introduce you to the man, Jesus Christ? Might we have a revolution? Might we see the tidal wave of God's grace as we've already seen begin to grow? And you know why it's beginning to grow? Because that's the message we've been preaching steadily, slowly, but surely, but truly, as you are forgiven of your sins. You can't imagine the opposition, especially early on, that come against that message. As if we were glorifying Satan. As if the devil was getting credit. As if God was being perceived as weak or passive or didn't care about sin. And the option was always there to just go, you know what, it's just too much, forget it. It's just a whole lot easier to just preach what they'll amen. You can do more revivals. I mean, I used to do more revivals because they want you to come in and be sin conscious. That was a master at being a sin conscious preacher. Listen, so backwards are we on what consciousness we should have. Our ado is on our works, not on our Jesus. Our ado, our perception, our sight, is not on our forgiveness of sins or the great gift of righteousness, but rather it is on our failures and our problems. We are so backwards, ladies and gentlemen, and tell me if I'm wrong, but in much of the church world, you're considered holy and super holy the more conscious you are of sin. Not the less conscious, the more conscious. If you're super duper conscious of sin, all you preach about, sing about, talk about, oh, to be as holy as that man. So, well, when he speaks of sin with such pain and anguish in his heart, I know I'm being facetious, but I've went far enough down the road. There's nothing left to be but facetious. Honestly, there's no, we can't go back and become sin conscious again when we've seen how lovely Jesus is. How beautiful the largeness of the gift of forgiveness of sins is. Too wonderful to fake and play with for cheap amens. It's too wonderful to monkey with for another revival that we don't need, that won't help anybody anyway. That spends five nights of people's time and never changes a soul, but man, it sure does fire us up about what? Sin! And it took me a long time to realize what Paul knew 2,000 years ago. God bless the man for writing it down and going to the chopping block for it. And God bless the martyrs for saying, you can kill me, but I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank God that Paul wrote it down in Romans 7 when he said, the commandment, I was alive once without the law, but the commandment came and sin revived and I died. The day my eyes opened to that verse, that the more I keep hammering about the law and sin, the more I kill those I'm trying to save. Jesus knew it before Paul knew it. That's why he said to the woman at the well, if you just knew the gift and the giver, you'd ask me for the water. And you know what you get when you get the water? 13. Whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I'm going to give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What did I tell you a moment ago? Jesus never ministered of things that pertain unto death. He always ministered of things that pertain unto life. And if you go set in a place that pertains unto death, you cannot be hearing living water. Living water can't carry death. It can only carry life. What did Peter say in 2 Peter 1 and 3? He hath given to us the ability to know the things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. How can I know life if all I'm ever hearing is death? How can I know what will bring me peace and joy and grace and comfort in my soul if all I ever hear is the hopelessness and the helplessness? God bless this little woman. What a moment to have met Jesus at the well. Even, and Jesus is so precious because he says to her what she needs, but she don't get it. Poor lady. Because none of us get it. Until we have the adieu of Jesus, until we open our eyes who Jesus is. We hear great sermons on Jesus, but we don't know who Jesus is. She actually gets physical with Jesus and goes, oh, how can you give me this water when you have no water pot? She doesn't have any idea what he's talking about yet. But as Jesus begins to reveal to her the method of true worship, those are worship in spirit and in truth, her eyes begin to open a little bit. Notice what she says in verse 29. I love that. Well, in 28, she does what all of us did when we got saved. The woman left her water pot. She forgot why she came. You know how many people I've seen come to church and forget why they came? They came for boyfriend, girlfriend. They came because it was a holiday. They came because it was convenient. They came because they'd promised their coworker they would, but they left their water pot and got saved. Like, I had no intention of giving my heart to Jesus, but here I am. I met the man. Look at what she said. Come see a man, which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man. What? That's it. That's evangelism. That's witnessing 101. That's it. That's the apex. It doesn't get any better than that. Come see a man. What did good brother Pastor Morgan say? If the church is not revealing Christ, the sooner we're gone, the better. If we can't say, come see a man, what are we saying? What are we preaching? What are we wasting time with? If we don't have come see a man, and when you get here, he's not beautiful, and he's not lovely, and he's not holy, and he's not awesome, and he's not anointed, what do we have? We really want to waste hours of our life sitting in a building, looking at each other, and never seeing how beautiful Jesus is. So that we can call ourselves religious or belonging to a church or an affiliation or an association or a denomination or a non-denomination and be proud of where we go. But we don't see Jesus. How can we continue and deny such great salvation? Come see a man, show me everything I ever did. Look at Psalms 34. Are you still with me? Now, are you having a good time tonight? You know what? I sense a sweet presence of Jesus in the house, and I really do. Just a sweet loveliness of Christ. You can't formulate it. Believe me, if you could, we would. Man, if you could package it, we'd package it. You can't package it. It just comes by lifting up Jesus. But look at Psalms 34. I love this verse because it's deeper than meets the eye. Verse 8. Psalm 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusts in him. Now what I love about, I love the whole thing, but I love the visual that you get. Taste and see. Two senses that don't go together. How can you taste and then see? You can taste and know, but how can you taste and see? Now I know what we mean. We go, this brownie's really good. Taste and see. Now what we mean is, if you taste, you'll agree. Okay? But I like to see it deeper than that, because the Word of God is deeper than man's metaphor. This is the Holy Spirit saying to you, when you taste of the Lord, you will adieu. You will see that He is never pertaining to death. He is never bad. You will taste and see that the Lord is always good. And happy is the man. That's the word blessed. Happy is the man that learns to trust that. Happy is the man that learns to trust that if he opens his eyes, he'll see Jesus. Aren't you happy to be able to open your eyes and know that when you read this, you're going to see Jesus? It makes me happy. You know, as it makes me want to read my Bible. I never dread this. Matter of fact, because I know, oh, if I could just get in it, just give me a moment. There's Jesus. Happy is the man who tastes and sees. Just give me another taste. Remember what Jonathan did when he was coming back from the battle and his dad had made everybody fast, Saul? He shouldn't have done that, because you don't tell men to fast who are going to battle. And Jonathan didn't know the decree, and so he comes back Jonathan says, look, here's some honey. They find a big honeycomb. And Jonathan says, look, here's some honey. Let's eat and refresh ourselves. And the men say, oh, you can't eat because your dad said that we got to fast so that God will move. And Jonathan said, basically, what good's it going to do us to fast and die? Wouldn't you rather eat and die than fast and die? And he said, well, if we're going to lose anyway, let's eat. I love that kind of Christian. I mean, I'm serious. All hell's come against us. Fine. If all hell's come against us, might as well eat. I mean, the devil's fighting anyway. Might as well enjoy some Jesus. Taste and see the Lord is good. It's too easy to be the believer with, well, everything's going wrong, I'll skip. Yeah, that helps. Everything going wrong, all hell broke loose in my life, I think we're just going to lay out of church this week. I never understood that. Why wouldn't you eat? If you're going to die, eat. Paul said, look, why don't we just eat for tomorrow we die? Jonathan scoops it in, picks it up by his hand and licks. And the Bible says this, and his eyes were enlightened. Now, I know physically we see the twinkle come back to us, but there's a spiritual connotation there too. The sweetness that has been provided. Sweet is often a type of God's grace. Here's your snowflake of grace. Okay, here's your crumbs off the table. You remember Samson? Who's a Nazarite from birth, got hair down to his ankles. Puny looking guy too. He got them little pencil arms. Now I think he really did, because otherwise, why would you question how he got to be so strong? Right? I don't think he looked like much. And he comes walking down the road one day and a lion jumps out in front of him and he just grabs hold of it and tears its head off and throws it over in the bushes. And then he comes back the next week to go pick up his Philistine bride that he went and picked out the week before. And on his way there, the sun has split the carcass open of that lion.
Well, that is all that we have time for today. You've been listening to our message titled, It's What You Know and Who You Know. If you'd like a copy of this message, request it by the title, It's What You Know and Who You Know, and we'll send it to you, our gift for being a faithful listener, just for writing. We hope you'll come back with us tomorrow and continue this message. Until then, this is Pastor Paul White, hoping you have a great day.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.